I think there's nothing that truly resonates across all of your senses like sound does, right? Like if I'm watching something gorgeous, it's a feast of my eyes and it starts and ends there. But if I'm listening to something, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm still doing other things. Like it's the one thing you can listen and do, right? You can listen and watch. You can listen and, well, not talk, but you can listen and use your hands and get things done, right? And so to me, it's the one sense or medium or whatever that can truly always be in your kind of brain presence and always bringing things up or bringing things down. It can, I mean, look, if you're in a mood, you go to ChatGPT and be like, what are 5 ways to get out of a bad mood? One of those 5 is going to be put on music. Guaranteed.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Jeremy Toman.
Do you want to talk a little about your podcast? Because I know that you do a podcast as well, which means you're pretty familiar with the format and you understand how to promote such a thing and what's involved in all of it, which is a lot.
I'll be honest, Jody, I'm still learning what's involved in it.
And we're all still learning. And it's still evolving, too. Like, I've been doing this for over 5 years now, and I'm still learning. There's tons to learn.
And the world changes around us. We're forced to learn new things.
So true. Yeah. So what about your own podcast?
So I call it Founder at 50. And good news for everybody is, first of all, I'm actually over 50. I'm technically 52. Shh. Don't tell the internet. But it's, you know, I've listened to a lot of great, I mean, we all have, like podcasts like How I Made This, Masters of Scale, all these podcasts that interview these unbelievable leaders and the journeys they've had. And I love listening to them and they're always inspiring. And at the same time, they can never quite land with me because I'm not the next Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or whatever. I might be creative and inventive and who knows what I'm destined to do. But I find a lot of the time when we sort of tell those stories of the uber greats of the world, that they're not really leverageable. There's not a lot of practical, like, oh, so-and-so gets up at 5 a.m. every day and does a 20-minute cold plunge and doesn't look at a device and then only eats oysters. Okay, but I'm never going to do that. So Founder at 50 is a bit more about the actual hands-on part of the journey by real people who have had, you know, not CEO of XYZ jobs, or maybe they've ended up in some of those roles, but where they actually had to navigate careers of various proportions, have accomplished different things, right? We've all accomplished things. And it's about getting those journeys out. And so what I say is my audience is twofold. It's either someone sort of in my age group that's looking, you know, stuck somewhere or listening to find some change or an idea or an inspiration, or it's someone maybe 20 years younger than me, wanting to become the VP of products at CBS, not the founder of it, or wanting to be a 5-year veteran podcasting host, right? And so that's sort of the thing is, how did you go from point A to the current place in your life? And pulling out some of the threads and looking for patterns and getting into discussions. I will be honest, there's a good amount of nostalgia that I tend to bring up. But I've also started having people on who are much younger going through these career journeys. And instead of hearing about what you did then, it's about talking about what you might do out there. And so I'm really just trying to get these kind of people's stories across in a way that can help others who are in similar boats.
Yeah, I think sometimes seeing the messy middle is a really good thing for us to motivate us. It's not all about the end result.
I like that phrase, messy middle.
I'm not the one who came up with it. I can't remember where I heard it, but I won't take credit. I know I've heard it in several places, but yeah.
I think I'm going to use it somewhere along the way.
By all means, yeah. I also find that the Jeff Bezos people and like the, you know, the Bill Gates and all of those, a lot of stuff is luck. It's just sheer luck of being in the right place at the right time and having the right knowledge.
And I think none of that has so true.
It doesn't have anything to do with getting up at 5 a.m. and taking a cold plunge. I mean,
yeah, like you could pick a lot of startups. I mean, I'll give you an example because I was so intimately familiar. YouTube, right? First of all, YouTube started as a dating site. Now, a lot of people know that. And second of all, despite all the stories, if Lazy Sunday from Saturday Night Live had not first been released, not first released, but quickly pirated and put up on YouTube, we would have had a very different journey, and any other video platform like a Vimeo or others could have been the YouTube, right? But, and I'm not taking anything away from Chad Hurley and a great team and built a great product. And I think the difference when I look at things is like they had that luck and they seized it, right? Like that's the thing. I'm not taking anything away from that, but you're right. And the same thing is true of Instagram and so many of the others. Like if some other series of events that might be out of your control hadn't hit exactly the right way, like I used to joke, like if Mr. Beast were to use Augie, that would be that, right? And even if he had randomly found it, we did a game called Movie Dole, long story, but Questlove from The Tonight Show and The Roots found us somehow and was playing and was tweeting about it. Like I couldn't have made that happen, right? So you're totally right.
Yeah, there is so much to this. But yeah, about the podcast, though, has hosting a podcast changed the way that you hear or appreciate sound in tech or product design? Has it progressed to other things in your life?
It has progressed continuously. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's I would say I can't get away from this, like multimedia like triggers me, for lack of a better phrase. So I pay attention to all of it as the years go. So there are times where I get sort of geeky into photography, but there's a lot of times where I get geeky into audio, geeky into the video. So I go through different phases, but I'm going to be honest, especially since I'm here and I have the moment to do this. It was our prep session, Jody, that opened more of my eyes to audio and even my own podcast than anything I had been doing. And as a person who's always committed to learning and et cetera, it was such an invaluable experience, because now I go back and listen to my earlier episodes where, you know, I wasn't wearing headphones, even though I thought I had a great mic, but I didn't realize things like room noise. So, you know, I'm always trying to learn, and I just want to thank you here publicly on your own podcast, because you made my podcast better without even trying. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad that I could help with that. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of this podcast is to help people appreciate sound and how powerful it can be and how it influences us. So, yeah, I appreciate that a lot, and I'm glad it could help. And I will say also, when I go and listen back and look at some of my early episodes, when I listen, they're produced. So, like, it's decent, but definitely the speaking ability, the ability to communicate things, to have active listening, which I'm sure you've learned how to do over time as well. That's a big thing. I think a lot of us don't, when we're doing a podcast specifically, or even moderating anything, if you're not listening to what people are saying to you and you're just going on with your questions, it becomes less a conversation and more just a talking at each other. And I don't like that.
It's funny you say that. One of the things I find myself most concerned about when I'm podcasting is I'm paying so much, or I'm trying, I hope I'm accomplishing, but I'm trying to pay so much attention to what we're talking about, and especially what's going on sort of on your side of the journey, that I'm also constantly thinking like, where do I want to take this next? And I always get a little nervous that I might accidentally ask questions or take it in a direction where my guest wasn't really prepared to go. And that's a thing that I'm putting a lot of thought into right now. It's like, well, what do they expect me to ask them? And it's not that I don't want a surprise, but they're surprised for the sake of like improving the chat And there's also surprise where it's like, hey, we just, you know, create a little bit of a barrier.
Yeah, you don't want to do a gotcha. I'm not right. here to do gotchas. That's right. Yeah.
I always want to make
your guest look good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I have such an inquisitive mind that I just want to keep diving in. And what I'm always worried about is I'm less worried about gotchas. I just don't want to put someone accidentally on the spot with one of those, like, oh, so did you ever think about doing this? And they're like, no. So that's become a bit of where I'm putting my attention right now is how do I always set up the guests so that they can have an answer to wherever I want to take things, if that makes sense.
It totally does. Yeah. It's definitely a push and a pull, and there's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
I will just reveal to anyone who's listening that I have a full page of questions open beside my window here where I can see you, Jeremy. And I know that I have a bunch of questions I could ask, but if you want to go in a particular direction, I'm not going to stop you. So, you know, those questions are there for when there's a silence or when we're done talking right. about a certain subject, or if I really feel like I want to get the conversation back onto a specific topic, then, you know, I'll do that after a certain time. But it's a guideline, it's not set in stone. So I find that easier.
I had someone blow my mind the other day, and I think this is going to start happening to all of us, Jody, which is he got on my podcast. He had used an AI tool to listen to my other episodes and then predict for him what questions I would ask him.
Oh, that's interesting. And was he correct?
It was pretty on spot. Yeah. he got,
you that's know, but, great.
Which I guess from one, I mean, if I guess I want to self-test against a predictable format, I guess I'm checking that box.
I don't think it's wrong to be predictable. I think that when you ask questions, obviously people are going to have different answers. So it's not about the questions you ask, which you can be quite consistent in. It's more about how your guest is answering them. And where are you going from there? So it's all a exercise in communication, which I think, again, because I talk about sound, I think that's super important.
I think you're totally, totally right.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
So I really kind of want to get a little philosophical with you. And if you could give a tip to other creators or founders about using sound more wisely in what they build, what would you tell them to do?
I would say it this way. So my career, my title has been product manager or product leader or whatever. If I were to say so in building products, sorry, just take a half step back. We have sort of the what you have to do, the things that make that better, and then every product person will call these different terms. I like surprise and delight. And it's the little things that make a product just bring it home a little bit. And to use audio for an example, anyone who has ever used a TiVo, ever, will tell you how unbelievably satisfying the do-do-do-do-do-do sound effects were. How'd I do? You know what I'm talking about, right, Jody?
I do. And it's good. Yeah.
And so I encourage product people to think about how to use little things, visual effects, animations, and sound effects to make a product more interesting, right? When you think about certain products you use, sometimes you'll all of a sudden have Oh my God, I'm blanking on it right now. I was ready to talk about this. This is the problem with 50-year-old me, Jody. I forget things.
It's but totally okay. It sounds like you're talking about UX, though. So user experience things you're going to hear or see multiple times.
That's
and they
right.
can definitely elevate a product if they are higher end.
Absolutely. And also think about it from a perspective of how do you surprise and delight a user, right? Like I was using something and it had a cha-ching sound. And I can't remember what it is. It's bugging me. But it didn't happen that often. And it was such a, and it wasn't like a money. It wasn't like Stripe would make sense, but it was, I can't remember what it was. I think about that kind of stuff a lot. I think about we and in the tech industry, it's almost like we pushed audio for like, that's for video games, right? Like think about tech products. Video games have music. They have sound effects, music, who knows what. Right, environmental effects, experiential effects. There should be so much more in our tech world where audio can make it so much more a satisfying experience. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's the only thing, but it is such an easy way. Product people, it's like you have like a blank slate ahead of you to really delight your users. Take a few chances here and there. I think you know, not maybe for like. Database software, so I don't know, you know, but anything where there might be a little levity to it, like flourish that a bit more, bring it to life through the years.
It makes a really good reward for things too. Mm. Like if you're doing something that you want to encourage people, if you're making something you want to encourage people to do something specific in, then that sound can be a really nice little reward for doing that thing.
That's absolutely right. I use this plugin for Mac Mail called Mail Butler, and it has this one time where it uses a sound effect, and I started noticing it. I'm like, because my computer would and I'd be like looking around my desktop, like which is the thing that's doing this, and then once I realized what the pattern was, I was like, oh no, it's not. I kind of like this. I'm gonna leave this one on, and I do, and so I'll hear this certain ding once, twice a day, and it's like it's an important thing, and so I can go up and deal with it. And what I also kind of like about it, it's not just sort of like flashing in my face all day long. It's just sort of a subtle and pleasant way to approach it.
Yeah, I think subtlety is key because if you're hearing it a lot, it can get very annoying. Or if you are hearing it a lot, you have to be very careful about what that sound is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So they have that a lot in video games. And I, if you're a video gamer, I don't know if you've done some gaming, but if you do that, it's the UX experience, like the changing of a background or a character or the settings or stuff like that. Like you can change all that and they all have sounds associated and the music and all of the background like that, you know, the sound of footsteps, like they worry about where that footstep is coming from. Like, is it coming from like one area? Is it spatial sound? Is it you? Are you running? Are you walking? Like, there's all sorts of different things to think about in this. And I had a fellow on my podcast, and if you have not checked out his YouTube channel, I highly recommend it. His name is Marco Meatball. On
Marco
YouTube.
Meatball. Okay.
Marco Meatball. So he is a former opera singer turned voice actor turned video game music commentator. So he comments on the music in video games from an operatic point of view, from his opera sensibilities. It's fascinating. I've been on his podcast, he's been on mine, and wow, like it's just mind-blowing.
I love that.
Yeah.
By the way, given that combination of topics, my daughter, my 18-year-old, she's been making a video game for like 9 months now.
Oh wow,
and
good for her.
Like she's doing this whole indie thing, but what I thought you'd like is every sound effect in the game she's made. So like the walking sound, like she went out and recorded herself doing things. Like,
oh, she did the Foley. Good for her.
She's like, yeah, we were in my car and it was making this weird noise when you open the door. And she's like, hang on, can everybody be quiet? And she grabbed her phone and went to record it. And I'm so impressed because like now I'll listen to it and I'm like, oh, you're walking through leaves. You know, what were you doing? Shaking a branch or something? And she'll always tell me the thing she did. But yeah, I was thinking about like those early days of Foley art. I'm like, oh, here we are, 2025. You can generate a sound And my kid's out there with a thing recording, and I was really proud of that, because it really makes everything about the gate. You're talking about experience, Jody. It's like, it makes the whole thing, it ties it together, right? Even if you were playing the game, you wouldn't have to have had someone tell you she made these effects. You just be, it would just, it just felt, as you said, it sort of like, it just felt right. You know, we'll see. Maybe we can get Marco to review her video game sound effects.
You got to check it out. And I would highly recommend contacting him if that's the case. Yeah, I think it would be a good game for him to check out. Yeah, he's very into the sound of these games. But okay. But I understand what she's trying to achieve. Like, I think that's it. It's an experience. You want someone to have an all around good experience that is memorable, that puts them in a different place. And the thing about it is, and it's funny how it works this way, we don't notice good sound until it's bad. We don't really notice the sound. If it's really good, we won't really notice it at all. It'll just it'll create a wonderful atmosphere, and we'll just experience what we're doing, and it'll be fantastic. If it's bad, we'll notice. Huh.
It's like having a cold.
Yeah, like, kind of. Yeah.
You know, when you don't, you take out breathing for granted until all of a sudden it's impossible to breathe. You're like, oh, can't wait till I feel normal again. And then you forget
so
about
true.
It.
So true. Yeah.
That's an interesting comment. I think, by the way, the other thing that encourages me back to our previous topic, she has not used any AI for anything she's doing except helping on like some contractual stuff she has to put together. Every line of code, every pixel, and every sound was 100%. Handmade by her, and might be the last time anyone ever does that. I don't know.
I would hope it's not, but I know, yeah, I know. That's super impressive. Yeah, so good for her, and I encourage her to share that with the world when she can. I think it'll be a great product or project, or yeah, I think
she's just got to finish it before college starts, because then she'll have literally no time left. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how she does.
What kind of a game is it? I'm curious.
It's on Steam. It's called Mudbird, like Muddy Bird, but Mudbird, okay. One word. And yeah. She describes it as a casual gardening game. It's in the category of cozy games, technically, because like you can't die or do anything wrong. You're basically exploring these islands, finding objects, and you're part of a flower club, and you've got to plant flowers. So it really embraces, like,
I love it.
Just everything. I can't think of a better word than homey. It's just like a homey everything. It has a really satisfying feel when you're in motion. The sounds are perfect for what she's done. As you could tell, I'm quite the proud dad.
I'm willing to talk, should be.
Yeah, I'm talking more about my kid's game than my own startup or podcast. There you go. But I'm proud. What are you going to do?
No, that's great. And well, you should be proud. I think she's doing a great thing. So yeah, I highly encourage her to keep on doing it. And yeah, I think that it's going to become even more important for humans to be creative in this age of AI, because it's going to stand out even more.
Well, the thing that will, as far as I can tell, scale doesn't taste, right? Mm. And so when you learn to have taste in a thing, and that's a phrase I use very deliberately, right? Taste is both natural and learned at the same time, right? And so when we have taste in a thing, AI can't replicate that, right? AI could give me 100 ideas for a title of the great American novel. Only I can have the taste to know which one feels like the right thing. Doesn't mean it'll be the best seller, doesn't mean anything, but it's the one thing that AI cannot properly predict. Which one's going to ring my bell, for example, on that given moment. So totally agree. And that's, by the way, what my kids are even asking, like, people, like, what's the advice in the age of AI? Continue developing taste, right? So if it's going to be about audio, go listen to stuff and really, like, listen to people like Jody and others who tell you how to listen, right? Like, that's the thing, is anyone can be a wine snob, for example. You have to learn how to taste wine. I don't know how to taste wine. I know craft IPAs. So I can talk about that till I'm blue in the face, right? But that's because I've developed that taste. Anyhow, but in the age of AI, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Hi, this is Joshua Sui, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast, a great place to learn about how powerful sound can be. If you want to understand how to harness that power in your own life, please keep listening.
There's so much to say about this, and I know that there are so many more directions we can go. But I do want to ask you why you think sound is important. I know it's a big question.
I think there's nothing that, again, it's just my perspective. I think there's nothing that truly resonates across all of your senses like sound does, right? Like if I'm watching something gorgeous, it's a feast of my eyes and it starts and ends there. But if I'm listening to something, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm still doing other things. Like it's the one thing you can listen and do, right? You can listen and watch. You can listen and, well, not talk, but you can listen and use your hands and get things done, right? And so to me, it's the one sense or medium or whatever that can truly always be in your kind of brain presence and always bringing things up or bringing things down. It can, I mean, look, if you're in a mood, you go to ChatGPT and be like, what are 5 ways to get out of a bad mood? One of those 5 is going to be put on music. Guaranteed, right?
Like, that's so true, yeah.
So I don't know. To me, like, it's the, like, music moves, right? Music is moving. Visuals can be, but music sort of is. I don't even know what else I would say about it. So, and I know I'm going straight to music when we talk about audio, but I think I'm just using that sort of figuratively, right? The same way, look, go listen to one of Jodi's early episodes, her comment on her own audio, right? Like, go listen to a podcast that doesn't have any level of production whatsoever. Tell me if you want to listen to episode 2, you know? I mean, no matter how great the content's going to be, if it's at all, like, getting in the way of listening to it, you're probably not going to. So I'm not quite as passionate about this as you might be, Jodi, but I think it's something that I hold very true in sort of my world as well. Like all of my, if you ask me to think of like big momentous times and strong memories, like you and I were talking, I got to go to this sound design room at this audio factory in Japan. And I remember every moment of that experience far more than going to Akihabara and looking at all the cool electronics in the early days. I can't tell you one thing I saw there, but I can tell you everything I listened to in that room.
Yeah. Yeah. And that sounds like quite the experience too. So yeah, congratulations on having that, because I don't think a lot of people do. Yeah, that's Thanks. Great. So what are you working on now that you can talk about? I mean, is anything beyond Augie or just Augie and redeveloping or more development there?
Well, we're always adding stuff to Augie. So Augie's latest feature is something we called Ad Maker, where basically you can upload 3 to 10 media assets. They could be still images like product shots or clips of maybe your product or good or service in use. You give it a product name and description and a web URL. And we analyze what you gave us combined with whatever writing you wrote and create an ad script for you. We then automatically insert all of the assets you gave at the right moments based on the script you said. We automatically voice it with a synthetic voice, although you can actually use your own if you are comfortable recording yourself. And it spits out a 25-second ad for you in about a minute and a half with 3 alternate versions as well. And so that's, we're pushed it live actually already. It's still in late stage testing, but it's working really well. It's great for like Etsy shops or Shopify stores or Amazon Marketplace entries or just small businesses out there. And funny enough, on the audio side, sound effects are what's coming. One of the things we're looking to do next, so that you can add little like whoosh and dings and cheering noises. And maybe we'll put those in a post. I'm just kidding.
Sure. Well, I mean, why not? Yeah. Although you have to be careful about how often you use something like that, because it can get annoying.
Well, that's a great point, because, you know, one of the things we're trying to do in the platform is like, we're trying to help you do a thing you don't know how to do, right? So somewhere in your brain, you know, you should probably add a sound effect. But what you probably don't know is what you just said, Jodi, is like, how many is too many, right? How much flair is too much flair, right? Pro tip. If you think it's too much, it's way too much.
That's so true. Yeah. Well, that's a great product, and I think people should check it out. You know, I am a voice actor myself, so if someone wants to use a voice actor, they can certainly get in touch. But if people are making it for a really small business, they can't afford any of that. They're doing this on a really small budget. I mean, these are jobs I would never have gotten in the first place. So I'm not going to begrudge someone going and using a tool like what you're offering.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's been actually part of our philosophy, is that Augie actually doesn't supplant existing jobs. So the kind of videos you're going to make with Augie, like, again, you would never make a Super Bowl ad in Augie. It's not good enough. And I don't mean that pejoratively of my own product, but it's not what it's designed to do. It's designed to let you have a simple social promo, right? And so that's sort of the point, is if we don't want to take away from video editing or voiceover actors or principal photographers or any of these people. In fact, what we have already seen patterns of is people start using Augie, and that opens up their doors, eyes, and budgets to do more with video. So we look at what we're doing will be additive overall to the video sort of ecosystem. And that includes voiceover actors and all the rest.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of people who do videos or anything like that use guide tracks that are synthetic voices. And then right. I come in and do the actual voicing, which, I mean, that happens all the time. So yeah, I mean, they're all tools. They all need human oversight, but they're good tools to have in your belt and a good way to work on a budget and get accomplished what you need to get accomplished. So I think that's a great addition to what people can use out there. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of developments that make that better and better as the years pass, and actually as the months pass. I think it's getting fast.
There are times where I feel like the changes are almost same day at this point.
Yeah. It's really, really getting fast. But yeah, this has been a fantastic conversation. Jeremy, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to do that?
Thanks, Jody. I'm easy to find. My name on LinkedIn, you'll find me every single time. In fact, my name on the internet, you'll find me every single time. And our company's at www.augie.studio, and my podcast is Founder at 50. But Jeremy Thoman will find me on LinkedIn, and I do my absolute best to reply to just about everything, as long as you are not spamming my inbox telling me about recruiters that I don't need. But other than that, I'm interested in, if you found me on this podcast, I want to talk to you for sure.
That'd be great. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy. This has been a lot of fun, and I loved hearing your perspective on all this. Thank you.
Thanks to you, Jody. And thanks for up-leveling my game. And everybody out there, this fine hostess knows exactly what she's talking about. Listen to this one.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.